So we're going to be focusing on happiness tonight. So it's going to be good. So we're going to start our meditation like we always do, and we're going to add to it. So last time we did a world healing meditation. We do something similar, going deep into the heart, deep into our space of joy, of inner bliss. You know, we have it, so we're told, but inner contentment. So it's going to be a good class. I'm really excited because I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you. It's another transformational evening. You guys ready for transformation? Right? Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want transformation? Ta-da! You know, who wants to feel more ta-da? I know I do. All right, let's get started. Feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice. And remember, it's just a slight tilt of your chin. You're not touching the chin to the chest. You're not stretching the back of the neck. What you're doing is lengthening the spine, opening up that energy center in the spine. In fact, let's take three ha breaths together. Everybody inhale and exhale. Do that two more times. Inhale. And one more time, inhaling. Beautiful. And notice the thoughts that are moving through your mental screen. Notice the dialogue. Maybe you're talking to yourself. Thinking about the past, thinking about the future. Notice what wants your attention. Notice if anything is keeping you from being fully present in this moment, in this room, in this class. And if it's something that's really nagging you, just tell yourself you'll come back to it later. Notice how you feel in this moment. Notice your breathing. Notice how the back of the chair is supporting the length in the spine. Beautiful. And now move your attention down into the base of the spine, down into the refuge of the body, away from the thoughts and the images. And imagine a golden thread moving up the length of the spine very slowly. It's moving up vertebrae by vertebrae. Imagine this is your Kundalini energy moving up the length of the spine. Imagine you can feel yourself becoming longer and taller. Longer and taller as this energy, this golden thread, moves up the length of the spine. And even imagine it lubricating the spine, energizing the spine, healing the spine as it moves up into the cervical spine. Beautiful. And in your mind's eye, imagine this golden thread or this energy moving up and out of the crown of your head. And imagine as it floats all the way up to the ceiling. Imagine you can feel it tugging at the crown of the head and lengthening. Beautiful. And now imagine coming back down into the body, down the length of the spine. And imagine as your attention moves downward, that the muscles begin to relax. They begin to soften as your attention moves all the way back down. Down into the base of the spine, down to your bottom. Notice if you're leaning to the left or to the right, and go ahead and move around in your seat a little bit so that you're sitting on both cheeks evenly, so you feel balanced. Unclench the body. Unclench the body and allow the chair to support your weight completely. You can trust the chair. And move your beautiful attention now down the backs of your legs. Down the hamstrings and the backs of the knees, the calves, heels. Trace the bottoms of your feet with your awareness. Become acutely aware of your feet and your shoes. Your feet connected to the floor. Be aware of the earth beneath the floor. Go deep into the earth, all the way down to the center of the earth. The earth is deep, it is vast, it is wide. And it is home. Feel the support of the earth. Imagine you can feel it. And maybe there's a thought, there's a feeling, there's a situation that is no longer serving you. Why don't you let it go? Let it go deep into the earth. Let gravity pull it away from the body mind. Beautiful. Becoming aware again of the body in the chair, and bring your awareness now to your face. Notice if you're frowning. Notice if there's any tension in the face. Notice if the face is completely open and relaxed. Relaxing the face helps to relax the entire body. So go ahead and lift your eyebrows up and then let them drop, smoothing the skin of the forehead. And let your eyes be soft, so that your upper and lower lids are barely touching. Imagine you can feel your eyes resting in the socket. Imagine you can feel your optic nerves resting. Imagine you can feel your brain resting in the skull. Imagine you can feel your nervous system resting in the spine. Bringing your attention back to your face. Bringing your attention into your jaw. Notice if you're clenching your teeth. Notice if there's any tension in the jaw. And go ahead and open up the mouth. And move the lower jaw around gently, really releasing the pressure in your ears, releasing tension. Go ahead and close the mouth. Place the tip of your tongue at the ridge just behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly and smile just slightly, opening up the face, opening up the heart. Beautiful. And now take your attention down the sides of the neck and over the shoulders. Let's roll our shoulders up to the bottoms of the ears and then let them drop, releasing any tension in the neck or the upper back. Taking your attention down the length of your arm, the biceps and the triceps, the elbows, the forearms, and the wrists. Bringing a deep awareness to the arms. Let them be heavy. Let the muscles unwind. And taking your attention now into your hands. And go ahead and make a fist with your hands, squeeze them, and then relax and wiggle the fingers, releasing any tension in the hands. And place your hands either palms up or palms down on your thighs, or folded lightly in your lap. Take your attention now underneath the arms, and down the sides of your body. Take your attention over the throat and the chest and the belly. and the pelvis. Take your attention down the thighs, the knees, and the shins, the ankles, the tops of your feet, the tips of your toes. Feel your entire body in your chair. Beautiful, and be aware now of the breath. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. Notice if you're breathing through the right or the left nostril, or maybe you're breathing through both nostrils evenly. Following your breath now into your chest. Feeling the rise and fall of the chest. But also feeling that expansion in the back. As the lungs expand, you might have a sense of that expansion in the back of the body. And follow the breath now down into the belly. And feel the gentle rise and fall of the belly. Exhale deeply, letting all the stale air go. And then just inhale and feel the expansion on your inhale. And exhaling deeply and mindfully. In fact, bring your belly button towards the spine and really exhale everything out. And when you inhale, feel that expansion on the inhale. And again, exhaling deeply, mindfully, fully. And feeling the expansion on the inhale. And one more time, exhaling nice and deep. Inhaling, feeling that expansion, and then hold the breath at the top.
And now exhale to four. One, two, three, four. Good. And hold. And now control the inhale. Inhale to four. One, two, three, four. Good. And hold. Exhale. One, two, three, four. Beautiful. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Exhale, one, two, three, four. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Exhale to six, but only if it feels good. Two, three, four, five, six. Inhale to four. One, two, three, four. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five, six. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Exhale to six, count it out. And inhale to the count of four. And then do this on your own, really being mindful of the length of the exhale. And a nice, long, smooth inhale, controlling your breath. Beautiful. And now let the counting go. Feeling the movement of the breath. And imagine that you are so quiet on the inside that you can feel the rhythm of your heart beating in your chest. Imagine you can feel it. Following the rhythm of the heart down into your hands. Follow the rhythm, the drumming, the beating of the heart, and feel it in the bottoms of your feet. Imagine you can feel it. Imagine you can feel the pulsating rhythm of the heart throughout the body. expanding your awareness. Imagine you can feel the rhythm of the heart of the person nearest you. And in your mind's eye, imagine that their heart is beating in time and rhythm with your own heart. Expanding your awareness now even further out into the room. Imagine all the hearts are beating in time and rhythm with your own. Expanding your awareness even deeper down into the earth. And you can feel the heartbeat of the earth. And it's moving in time and rhythm with your own heart. Expanding your awareness even more. Go as far as you want to go, through the city, to the state, to the country, to the world. Feeling the rhythm of life in every person, everywhere. In everything, everywhere. And all the hearts are beating as one. One rhythm, one heart, one life. And just be in this expanded state just for a few more moments. And now very gently moving your awareness all the way back into the center of your chest, into the room, into your body. And just be quiet, just breathe, just feel that rhythm of life on the inside. taking a nice, deep, connected breath all the way down to the bottoms of your feet and sighing it out. Very gently opening up the eyes just a little bit, though, and gaze down at the floor. Give yourself a moment. Allow some of the light that's in the room to filter in. Open up the eyes all the way. Wiggle fingers and toes, coming all the way back to the room. Wiggle your fingers and your toes and give yourself a hug, because I know you hadn't hugged yourself all week. And then give yourself another hug so you're nice and even. And you pat yourself on the back because you did a good job. You made it to class. Yay! Darn, you can do anything for 6 weeks. How you guys doing? That's one of my favorite meditations to do, that the rhythm, because sometimes I don't know if you guys were able to feel it when you get really still. You can really feel the heart beating and the heart beating in your hands, you know, and to take that even deeper into the earth. And, you know, a lot of mystics talk about there being one life, but when you're in that expanded space, you can really get a sense of the one life, you know, the life that we're all connected to in and through. So, you know, that one heart. And it does bring to mind, remember, I think we've talked about, or I've mentioned him before, Dr. Bruce Lipton. I've given you some articles by Dr. Lipton. And he talks about cognitive dissonance. That's when somebody, we're in a similar vibration. Your vibration and my vibration become, and the contact and the waves become deeper. And there's something happening, you know, when we're all in like vibration. If you have someone that you're not of like vibration, they cancel each other out. There's not a lot happening. So we want to be in that nice vibration together. And so that does help doing that kind of meditation. You know, connecting with ourselves and other people. How you guys doing? Yeah, you're still feeling groovy?
Yeah.
You feeling relaxed?
Yeah.
So are you guys doing the progressive relaxation at home? Are you guys trying it? Are you guys meditating at home? Are you? All right. Five people are meditating. I'm happy. So, but are you trying this progressive relaxation at home or maybe in the car or when you're at work? Where you just relax the face, relax the top of your head, and get really connected into the body. Are you guys trying that? That's why we do a version, the same one over and over and over again, or a version of the same one over and over again, so that it becomes part of your muscle memory to be in a relaxed body. You know, most of us are tense. We're walking around with our shoulders hanging like earrings, you know, and our breath is short. That's going to continue to happen sometimes, but what we want is when to be in a relaxed body where that feels normal. Remember we talked about that? It is because for most of us, it feels normal to be in a body that's tense. I think last week or the week before, I talked about that pain that I had in my shoulder blade until I went to the chiropractor for free, and I picked the card and I got to go. And it didn't occur to me that I could get rid of that pain. I just had always had it, you know? So it was quite miraculous. So it's like that. You know, we have these pains and these tensions that we've just become accustomed to. And so doing the progressive relaxation, doing it more than once a week, is going to have you accustomed to being in your body when it's relaxed. Does that make sense? So when things are out of balance, you're more apt to want to come back into balance. You guys with me? I'm feeling very relaxed tonight. It's a good thing. My meditation teacher was super stressed. That would be a problem. So we're talking about happiness. So happiness is a mental or emotional state of well-being. And, you know, remember last week we touched a little bit when I was talking about my friend, my wisdom woman friend, who said that, you know, happiness is an emotion. It's a state that shifts and changes. And maybe what we're striving for is to be content. Because no matter what happens, you can still be in a state of contentment. Many of the mystics talk about being in a state of bliss. I don't know, you can have meditation moments where you're in bliss, or out walking, or being with someone that you're in love with, or being by yourself and it just comes over you. But most of the time, we want to be in that state of balance, that state of bliss,
And balance isn't about being asleep. It's you're still feeling energized and engaged and just feeling good. You know what I mean? Like a walk on the beach, you know, at sunset or sunrise, and it just smells good and it just feels good, contentment. How's that sound? All right. So all emotions on the spectrum, from anger to bliss or, you know, jubilation, they are temporary and they change. So you might notice that if you might be upset when you wake up. Anybody ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? I mean, I do sometimes. It happens, right? But your emotions will shift and change during the day. You might wind up still, it's like, I was in a bad mood all day. I bet you weren't. I bet if you were mindful, there were days where you forgot that you were angry, or moments where you were that you forgot that you were angry during the day. You guys follow me? So this is a really good thing to notice that our emotions come and go. It's like I went to Lindbergh today, and I'm on the phone, and it's pretty sunny out, and I go in and I come out, the clouds are there, and it's dark and it's windy, and I was only in there for 10 minutes. I don't know what happened. You know? So it's like that. It's like that with our emotions. Now, I don't say that because the clouds are there, that the sky doesn't exist. Do you guys understand? So our emotions oftentimes cloud the pure awareness of our mind. You are perfect, whole, and complete. Yeah? Ruthie knows that. She knows it. We're perfect, whole, and complete. Those emotions do not diminish that. They can obscure it from your own view, though. Just like the clouds, when I came out of the store today, obscured my view of the sun, I can get too overly focused on my emotions, and then I can forget that I'm really the blue sky. I'm really whole, perfect, and complete, and all ultimately as well in my world. How you guys doing? Sound good? Everybody take a deep breath? Sigh out. You guys are good. Negative emotions aren't bad. They're not bad. So one of the things that I'd like us to wrap our minds around for this class is that your emotions are neither good or bad. Some emotions feel good and some emotions feel not so good. You are ultimately, we're impartial observers. This is how we meditate all day long. When you're in meditation, ideally you're watching your breath, you're watching the tensions creeping back into the body, you relax, and you're just being and you're just watching, and the closer you pay attention, the deeper you get into the present moment. I know we have some artists in the room and some writers, maybe we have gardeners. When you're really connected with what you're doing, there's contentment, there's peace, and time disappears, doesn't it? You're in the present moment. So that's what we can do all day long. Is be in that present moment and be the observer. How we observe is through non-judgment. In other words, we're not telling a story about the, I'm angry, why am I angry? I'm doing all this meditation and I still feel angry. What's happening? It's not working. You know, we start freaking out. We're like, I'm feeling really good, man. Meditation's working. I'm on spiritual path. Life is good. And, you know, I'm a great person. So there's all kinds of judgment around the emotion. So when the emotion changes, our judgment of ourselves changes, right? But we're still the blue sky. Doesn't matter what your judgment is, you're still the blue sky. You're still perfect. You're still beautiful. You're still fantastic. You're still delicious. You're a hot tamale. Did you guys look at yourself in the mirror this week and say you're a hot tamale? That's your homework. It's your homework. If you haven't been here before, your homework is to look in the mirror and say, you're a hot tamale. It worked. So, you know, that judgment, right? So we just want to be observers of our emotions, because when you're observing, then you have choice on how you're going to act from the emotion. If I am feeling angry, I don't always have to act out. Can I get an amen? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But if I try and suppress the anger, that's not going to work either. It's like trying to suppress the rain cloud. It's just not going to work. You're not going to be able to do that. Through observing, you breathe. You breathe in the observation, and you're aware that the anger, the storm moving through through the body mind. Now I can act accordingly. The storm is coming. I can decide to get my umbrella. Do I want to be in the storm? How much do I want to engage? Maybe I want to go home. When I was becoming, you know, you become aware, you know, as you do this. Sometimes mommy would have to have a mommy timeout when my kids were little. You know, I mean, when you are sleep deprived, your emotions are going to fluctuate. Yeah. So, you know, it's like mommy needs a timeout, which the kids thought was funny, but mommy had to go and lay down and breathe and take a timeout because I could feel the anger just bubbling and moving through me. And it's not productive to lose your mind, quite frankly. Right? Everybody feels bad. There's a lot of apologies. There's lots of tears. So you take a timeout. Some emotions you'll notice will just come and go. As soon as you bring awareness into them, some of the feel-bad emotions. Remember, there's no negative. Even though I wrote negative emotions, you can scratch that out. If you have feel-good and you have feel-bad emotions, they feel good or they feel bad. Some of them will come and go. You bring awareness to it. You know, like you're driving, somebody cuts you off, you have a flicker of annoyance, you breathe, and it's like, oh, who cares? You laugh it off. I had somebody cuss at me under their breath on a telephone call. It was a telemarketer. And I wasn't interested, and he went, oh, you know, you idiot. And I started laughing. I thought it was funny. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to report him. He's got all kinds of karma issues anyway, so it's none of my business. And it was funny. So some things will rise, and then you can let them go. That's how powerful your awareness is. It's like what we've been talking about. As soon as you're aware of some internal dysfunction, like a belief that's not working for you, sometimes just the awareness of, well, that's not working. It's done. You don't have to, you know, I got to talk to my therapist about it. Sometimes it just dissipates. You guys following me? Sometimes, though, there are feel bad emotions that continue to come up over and over and over again. You guys following me? It's every time Tom calls me on the phone, my blood boils. Every time. Every time I turn on the TV and I see so-and-so, I just feel so heartbroken every single time. You guys have that? Every time somebody calls or every time this happens, I have a feel-bad emotion. This is a good thing. We don't want to suppress. We want to observe and then make an informed action, an informed decision. Do you feel powerful you guys are becoming? I'm aware of the feel-bad emotion. I feel it in my tummy. I feel it in my chest. I don't feel good. It's pointing me to where I want to go. Esther Hicks talks about this in the Abraham Hicks. I know some of us know about Abraham Hicks. There's lots of books in the bookstore. The bookstore's not open, but when you come to the center, or you can find them online. They say oftentimes your feel-bad emotions are pivoting you towards what you want. So sometimes, because we live in duality, we live in an environment where things are up and things are down. Things are hot and things are cold. Yeah? I have a feel-bad emotion. Instead of focusing on it and getting hyper-focused and getting lost in it, I can say, well, what I want is this. I want to feel free. I want to feel good in my relationship. And I can start to think about that. So that's one good thing. It's pointing you where you want to go. Does this make sense? I hate my job. Well, what do I hate about my job? I feel all this negative, bad feelings in me about my job. So what do you want? I want a job that is the opposite of that. Okay, then let's focus on that. That's how your emotions are meant to work. You guys good? Okay. The other thing, we talk about sleep. Sleep deprivation does not help your emotional body if you are sleep deprived. You know, I was looking on, reading the news, and there's more and more accidents on the freeway now because people are sleep deprived and they're distracted. You see people on their phones, you know, they're talking, they're eating, they're doing all kinds of nonsense. Their unconscious mind is driving the car. We talked about this last week. If you missed it, it's okay. You don't drive your car after a while. Your unconscious mind drives the car. And they're completely, like, not at the wheel. You know, there's abdicated responsibility, really. So sleep. If you are feeling emotional, look at your sleep patterns. You know, sometimes not all of this is about my family. It's my kids have woken me up every night for the past 5 days and I am tired. Maybe I'll take a nap. Maybe I'll take a day off. I give my kids a mental health day. Usually about once a quarter, because there's usually a day where they're really tired, they've been working hard, there's not a lot to do, and they'll say, Mom, I really need a mental health day. They get one. We need that, right? I want them to get used to reading what's going on in their body so they can make informed decisions for their health and their well-being. Maybe you just need a mental health day. Yeah? Maybe it's not all that bad. You go for a walk at the Botanic Garden. It's probably really pretty right now because of all the rain we've had. Yeah? Taking a nice walk. You're just your lifestyle in general and your diet. Diet's a big one. Diet affects your mood. That's why I have in here, look at an example of Ayurvedic medicine. I love Western medicine. I sold pharmaceuticals for a long time. I don't have a lot of negative stuff around that. And I love holistic methods as well because they treat the whole person, right? I still go to the doctor. I'm not telling you not to, but I also look into these other methods to maintain balance and contentment. So Ayurvedic medicine is an example. Ayurvedic medicine is it's an ancient form of medicine that started in India. It's a Hindu form of medicine. And everybody has a constitution or called a dosha. And you eat foods and do exercises that are appropriate for your constitution. Your constitution is different than mine. You are an individual, magnificent, perfect hot tamale. Right? So your hot tamale is a little different than my hot tamale. So that's what Ayurvedic medicine, it addresses that. You might want to look into other integrated medicine. Like I like Andrew Wade. Dr. Andrew Wilde is a medical doctor. He's trained here. But he has this whole thing about integrative medicine. So you're going to hear more and more about integrative medicine. A lot of people like Dr. Christiane Northrup and other Eastern philosophies that treat the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. Your food has a lot to do with your emotional state. So, you know, we were talking last week that I personally was feeling very overwhelmed. You know, my ex-husband's traveling, I got one kid in volleyball, I got the other kid over here, you know, that nobody drives, and, you know, I'm working and doing all this stuff, and we feel overwhelmed. Okay, so we address that. But one of the things that happens with stress is you get a lot of adrenaline and cortisol and other chemicals that dump into the body and you start to feel bloated and not feel good. So I started to make some adjustments to my diet to account for some of the chemicals that were being dumped. So I made some adjustments. That's why I feel so relaxed tonight. Not just meditation. It's food. Food can help you feel less stressed. So I want you to look at things. If you guys are feeling stressed, if you're feeling overwhelmed, I want you to check in. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating well? Maybe there are some changes that you need to make. Because sometimes we forget and we take it for granted. When I'm stressed, I like to eat salty, crunchy things. I'm not a sweet person. I won't eat the ice cream, but some of us do. We like the ice cream. So maybe you wake up and there's an empty carton on the floor. It's a sign that maybe it happens. I understand. It's like, I think it's time for me to address my stress on another level and make some changes to my diet and my changes to my lifestyle so I can feel content. Right? If I'm over full, I'm not in a state of contentment. Make sense? Yeah. There's a wonderful book, I didn't write it down, but I just thought of it, by Deepak Chopra. It's the only book that I've ever read of his all the way through. The other ones, it's nothing wrong with him, you know, it's just, I really like this book. It's called Perfect Digestion. And he talks about Ayurvedic medicine, and he talks about digestion, and he says that the human body is nature's crowning achievement. I always thought that was so beautiful. The human body is really, your body is really magnificent. So think about that book. How you guys doing? Okay. So when we're also thinking about being content and being feeling balanced,
right? We want to talk about mirroring because oftentimes it's, okay, I'm looking at my diet. I'm feeling a little better, but gosh darn it, that challenge just still makes me so mad. So now Tom is our teacher because everybody that we meet is a mirror of our own consciousness. If you understand this and you live your life understanding that everybody I meet, for good or for bad, makes I have good feeling emotions, I have bad feeling emotions, they are a mirror of what's going on inside of me, you will more than likely be content most of the time. Why? One reason is because you've taken the power back from Tom has to stop doing that thing that aggravates me, so I'll be happy. Who has the power? Tom does. Now remember, we've been talking about the three things that the ego wants. The ego wants power. I wrote it down in here. The ego wants power, right? Control. Gotta be right. Somebody said, why don't you point this out? I'm like, I have absolutely no interest in being right. That doesn't make me feel powerful. 2 + 2 = 4. What am I going to argue about for? You know, why am I going to argue? It's just the way that it is. So power, right? Love and acceptance. Remember last week when I was talking about that feeling of being overwhelmed? Well, if I don't do everything, if I don't get everything done, then I'm not going to be a good mom. What was I looking for? Love and acceptance and approval. Love, acceptance, approval. Right? The other thing is stability, right? Security, stability, immortality, fear of change. Ego doesn't like change, you know, wants everything to be the same all the time. And you know people like that, maybe you're one. I don't like change. You know, it's uncomfortable. I got to get outside my bubble. I don't want to do that. I don't feel good. So the egoic mind is after the three things. And so we look at our little triangle. That's how I like to remember it. Right? So you have the security. You have power. And then you have looking for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. And approval. Yeah. Looking for love. Right? So that's how we remember it. So if I know that and Tom is irritating me, right, I'm in charge of my own irritation and I can use that for my own spiritual expansion. Because remember, consciousness needs conflict in order to expand. Remember we've been talking about happiness in the beginning. And sometimes people just want to be feeling happy all the time, and so they want to make things as easy as possible. And so we talked about the article on super agers. People who age well actually engage in conflict. There's some frustration. They're trying to learn things. They're climbing a mountain, you know, and it's hard. It's not easy. We equate happiness with things being easy, but there's no growth when things are easy. Right? If everything was easy, boring. That's not why you're here. Your consciousness wouldn't expand if it were easy. Okay? Most people give up before they see the reward anyway, unfortunately. You know, that persistence. It's about being persistent. It's about having faith in your vision of what you want. I know that it is my divine right to have good relationships. I know that. And so even though my relationships are challenging now, I am expanding to realize that. Do you guys understand that? So consciousness needs conflict in order to expand. So when I meet Tom, Tom is showing me myself and showing me where I can expand and where I'm hung up here. How you guys doing? Everybody take a deep breath. Yes.
What happens if there is you dislike a person, and then you really dislike that person, you don't know why, and I'm not talking about myself, you just have somebody comes in the room or you go in the room and you just whistle and you just don't want to be around that person. Are you supposed to force yourself?
No, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking it. So I'm going to repeat it for our friends at home. You walk into a room and you immediately have a dislike of somebody. You bristle and you want to move away. And what do you do? Do you force yourself? Oh, my gosh, this is like the best question in the world. And I'm glad you asked it because I didn't write it down. Being spiritually aware does not mean that you have to like everyone. Dun, dun, dun. You know that we're all supposed to talk like this and be really nice and carry around our spiritual malas. And that's not what being spiritually aware means. Being spiritual means you being yourself. You be your fabulous, gorgeous, hot tamale self. All right? What we know is that everybody is the blue sky. I love it when Dr. Moira says, you know, tell if that person is, you know, divine though they be. We recognize that there's divinity there, but we also recognize that there are people who do not have our highest good in their mind. We're in a human body. You have a fight or flight response for a reason. We are made to feel danger, right? Feel somebody staring at you. Your hairs on your arm, right? I had a good friend of mine tell me a wonderful story. She said she came home and she heard a noise and then her hairs were sticking up. Now, it all ends well. And she was going to brush it off, but her heart was beating and she said, this is what women do. We just say, oh, it's no big deal, and we don't pay attention. So she called the police and they came in. They looked at everything. And there was nobody there, thank goodness. And what she figured out is actually the funny story, that an animal had gotten in the house and made the noise because she saw where the door, if it had an animal door, and it escaped. So, but it was the right thing for her to pay attention to, something's not right in my environment. In the book, The Honeymoon Effect, Dr. Bruce Lipton also talks about this. He said that he has a big, he's a cell biologist, and he had this big spiritual awakening, and he's all in love with life, and life loves him, and everybody is good. And so he's living in the Bahamas, and he's teaching, and his neighbor, this guy, moves in, and he just has a feeling, but he ignores it, and he ignores it, and he ignores it. And then eventually, he was moving to another school. He was teaching on one of these islands, and he was going to this other island, and the stuff never arrived. Turns out that the guy somehow talked to the delivery guy, took all the stuff. And he said it was such a wonderful lesson because it taught him to pay attention to that. So you have to know yourself really, really well. Here's the other thing about food. Being in a high level of stress and having lots of chemicals in your body interferes with your fight or flight response. So you might not be clear on what you're feeling. That does happen. Okay? So when you're feeling balanced, you walk into a room and your hair stand on end, you pay attention to that. You are not being less spiritual. You are not being less loving. You are not being unkind. You can put them in a bubble of light. That's one of my favorite things. Put them in a bubble of light, wish them well, and be on your way. Does this make sense? How are you guys feeling? It's empowering, right? We love everyone, but that kind of love is impersonal. We have an impersonal, universal love that we're all capable of that's much more expansive because it doesn't depend on you doing nice things for me. There's another kind of love that is conditional. Now, typically when you read spiritual books, they talk about the conditional love not being all of that great. You know, it's like, oh, it's not as good. Well, I have a different. If my boyfriend wasn't nice to me, why would I date him? Right? I can still have an impersonal love and wish him well. But if we're always in conflict, then maybe we shouldn't be together. Do you understand? It's a very interesting thing, and at the same time, if I meet somebody like him again and again and again, what's the common denominator? I've got some issues that need to be addressed. Do you guys understand? Then that's when you address it. It's like being in meditation or meeting Tom, and every, no matter what I do, every time this stuff is coming up, your stuff is coming up for a reason. Good question. So it's okay to pay attention to those feelings. Any more questions about that? Yeah.
Can you explain what's the triangle?
Oh, it's just the triangle is just the ego. It's how the it's our representation of ego. Our lower mind. Ego is a condition of separation from self. And when we're completely lost in ego, we are constantly looking for security, power, love, and acceptance outside of ourselves, and it leads to disempowerment and unhappiness and insecurity. That's good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Say it with me. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Oh, you guys are so good. All right. So, the concept of mirroring, right? There's a practice that I do for myself that I'd like to share with you. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's check the time. So, what am I feeling? God, your emotions are so powerful and informative. Please, let's make a pact with ourselves to no longer suppress our emotions. Whatever you're feeling is good. Even if the feelings are good feelings or not so good feelings, it's good that you're aware of them. So, what am I feeling? When I have clients and I'm working with them privately, oftentimes people look up because they're accessing their memory because they don't know, they're not in their body. So if you're not sure what you're feeling, I want you to look down, okay, and just look down and engage and say, what am I feeling? Because there is a quality of the emotion in the body. So we're going to use Tom as an example. Is that okay? What am I feeling? Rage. Tom really just pisses me off. He's on the HOA. Just kidding. Anyway, so what am I feeling? I'm feeling anger and rage. The next question is, where am I feeling it? Because you want to connect with the emotion in the body. You want to ground the emotion. And it's not going to feel good. Negative emotions or not feeling good emotions don't feel good. My stomach hurts. My head hurts. I feel like I'm choking. My neck here hurts. My shoulders hurt. My lower back hurts. Do you understand? So you connect with it in the body and you start to breathe into it. So when I'm with Tom or when I think about Tom, I feel it right here in my solar plexus. And I start to get heartburn, as an example. So I'm going to connect and I'm going to breathe. Just maybe 5 or 10 breaths. And I'm going to breathe because I'm bringing conscious awareness to that area of the body and into that emotion. You guys following me? So breathe with me into the solar plexus. Just see if you can do it. You're just breathing into that space. And then the next question is why? Now this is the righteous why. Because he is insane. He did this and he did this. There's a part of you that wants to be heard and wants to rant. So you need to understand why. Because he did this, 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 and this. You're still being very spiritual. And you're feeling like that's being you. You're in your victim mode. He did this to me, he did this, he did this. He's just, and he smells funny. And oh, I just don't like it. And you still breathe. And then the next question, as we're breathing into the solar plexus, why is that a problem? Why is that a problem? And your mind is going to give you a lot of really good reasons. Why is that a problem? The next question after that is this point of view working for me? How's it working for you? It's not really. But what is Tom showing me? So here we have as I breathe into this, keeping my egoic mind, is this about acceptance? And you ask yourself, is this about acceptance? And you'll have a yes or no feeling. Is this about security? It's somehow he's robbing me of my sense of security. Is this about power? Yeah. I do not feel powerful. And so now I am in a conflict with somebody who is reminding me of a belief that I am not powerful. How's that working for you? That belief. The blue sky that you are is wise. You have this wisdom when you sit and you breathe and you dialogue, you have this wisdom. If you have a spiritual friend to be with you and to breathe with you, that's even better. Remember we talked about having a friend that will talk you off the ledge? I have that. You know, I'm feeling really imbalanced. And I want to run this by you. I want you to talk me off the ledge. In other words, I don't want you to agree with me that I'm a victim. I want you to hold the energy for me so this can come up and it can be transmuted or transformed and released. How's that? It's powerful stuff, right? Everybody take a deep breath. Any questions? No, what if? Yeah.
Are you saying that your friend, you want your friend to hold that negative energy or bad emotional energies for you so you can move on? Or?
I want my friend to hold the bad emotional energies. No, that's a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. What I want is my friend, who's usually my sister, when I call her, is to be the higher self, to hold the higher ground. She knows that this is just my ego is acting up and it needs to be addressed for me to grow. I need somebody to hold that for me sometimes. Sometimes I can just breathe and sit and, you know, and talk and how's it working? It's like, well, it's not really working for you. So when I see Tom and I start to feel irritated, it's not about him, it's about me feeling not powerful. So I'll just deal with that. And my relationship with Tom will begin to take care of itself. Does that make sense?
So your friend is really looking at you at a higher ground.
Yes, my friend is looking at me from the higher perspective, the higher ground, to hold the higher energy for me. So everybody should have a spiritual friend that they have a sense of this teaching or belief or, you know, that we don't always want to be in this victim mode. And how can I help me to see the light, to get out of being in the victim mode? Yeah. The what? The commiserators? Yeah, don't call your commiserators, because then you'll wind up feeling really bad and your relationship with Tom will get even worse, if that's possible. Okay? So, yeah.
Do you have to identify it as one of those things you're going to
work through? It helps. It helps to know what it is, because then because the karma is not going to be released right away, meaning the negative emotions usually, or those bad feeling emotions. So when you see Tom, you realize this is about me working on my own sense of power, as an example. So it does help. You don't have to know like the deep cause, where it comes from your childhood or from a past life. You don't have to go there, but you do have to be aware that I'm in a power struggle with you, for sure. That's how most relationships are, you guys, without consciousness.
It can also be a combination.
Yes, it can be a combination. It can be a combination, sure. But most of the time, there's going to be one that really, really sticks out. So when you're in relationship with someone, you actually have a relationship body. So there's me and then there's Tom. So I'm going to talk about this. You draw a circle at like a yin and yang, right? Because now Tom and I actually are in a relationship and we have a relationship body. For most human relationships that are unconscious, we are in a power struggle. In other words, for me to be right,
And my energy, you know what it's like when you are right. Does your energy go up? It feels good to be right. Right? It feels better to be in a state of contentment and not worry about all of that. But it does feel good. There is an emotional charge with being right. I was vindicated. I'm right. I knew it. But for me to be right, what does Tom have to be? He has to be wrong. What happens to his energy? Right. It goes down. So I have to be right. He has to be wrong. So what happens to the energy body? Is it balanced? It's an imbalanced relationship. I don't need Tom to come to the center. I know some of you are like, I got to bring Tom here, like right now. No, because with consciousness, we step out of this power struggle and we have universal power that we tap into, universal consciousness. And you know there's that saying, one with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. As long as I step out of this power struggle and I am one with my source, whatever that looks like for you, universe, whatever, you breathing and stepping out, I'm in the majority. I'm in a very, very powerful position, even if I don't feel like it. Now what happens? My perception of Tom begins to shift. Because your perception was based on your set of assumptions and stories. I can guarantee it. Because I'm not in the power struggle and in the state of energetic imbalance, and I step out of the power struggle, I see him differently. And because I see him differently, I act towards him differently and create different experiences. Follow me? Give you just a second.
Okay. So remember our big circle, right? You have your beliefs, you have your thinking and your feeling. Your thinking and your feeling direct your actions, and your actions direct your experience or dictate your experience. That's very important. If I'm standing outside and I see Tom differently, I act different, I have different experiences. You are part of the problem every time. You have a relationship issue, you are part of the problem. It's not just that person. It's not possible. I tell my clients this all the time, and some of them have to breathe very deeply through that. It's not them. This is about you. Now, that doesn't mean that you just kind of not do anything. I am so much more powerful to take inspired action and have different experiences when I'm not in a state of energetic imbalance. Make sense? Isn't Tom a great teacher? Right? Right? When my kids were two, they were teaching me a lot. It's not good to be in a power struggle with a two-year-old. You always lose. I'm sorry. Now, what's your question?
Well, in that, what did you call it? Kind of a bubble? You called it something that circles?
Yeah, well, it's an energy. It's an energy. You have a relationship. Yeah.
Is he, in your mind, because I don't know this, is he even participating in this? Is that whole thing you?
That's a really good question. Is he participating in this, or is it all you? No.
Yeah,
you know what?
He's not even.
Tom might like you.
Yeah, he may not even be participating, but meaning I do that.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, it's all, you know.
All your assumptions. It could be all your assumptions,
yeah,
and all your drama.
And he's just doing whatever he's doing, you know.
You ever have somebody say, well, this happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? That didn't happen. I never said that. I never said that. Well, you most certainly did say that. I heard you. No, I didn't. You can be on either side of that, right? Now, sometimes we are in a conflict and the other person does acknowledge it. And they're blaming you and they want to be right. And you're in a different kind of, you're in a power struggle. They want to be right. You want to be right. You still step outside of it. Oftentimes when people come with relationship issues, the relationship stays intact because one person is a majority with source. And this person will begin to entrain to your level of consciousness. That does happen quite a bit. So it's a very exciting thing. You never know what's going to happen when you step outside of the power struggle. as an example. How you guys doing? You guys have some relationships in mind that you want to walk through this process? I hope so. I do, because relationships are fertile ground for spiritual growth. You know, I mean, you can go off into the mountain, and it's like, I'm good when I'm on the mountaintop. I'm so good. You know, then you come down the mountain, and you're like, holy cow, how can I get back to the mountain? You know, we need each other for spiritual evolvement, which is really beautiful, you know, beautiful and powerful. How you guys doing? Okay. I think I'm going to leave it right there, and then we're going to finish the rest of the sheet next time, because it has gone by so quickly. Oh my gosh. We only have about 10 more minutes for meditation. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever think there's relationships where you can't step outside, but if you're aware of that, you acknowledge, and then you just decide, you know, to walk away from that relationship?
I'm going to challenge you on two things. Or, well, one, you can't step outside and be in your place of power. Is that what you just asked me?
I guess. Like, it's, yeah, you just, no matter what you feel, like you can't step outside. You're stuck in that power.
Where's your power then? Yeah, you're wasting a lot of energy. So the answer is yes. I'm hearing a couple things, that I'm not in control of what's going on. So I would walk myself through the process to see, is this about power? Is this about acceptance? Or is this about security? Right? The other question, how's this working for you, or is my point of view working for me? The other part of that question is, how is my point of view working for me? To flip it. How is this power struggle actually serving me? How is this relationship serving me? I'm very aware that it's toxic. How is it serving me? What is it keeping me from? This is a very deep dialogue with yourself. Right? There's a part of us that is, there's something about being in our human form where we have these addictions. We can be addicted to sugar, and we can be addicted to people and situations. We can be addicted to the news, right? The up and down of the news. I mean, after the election, it doesn't matter what side you were on, most of us are like, what is happening? And we're reading and we're participating. Now a lot of us are kind of burned out. You know, it's exhausting. It's hard on the adrenal glands, you know, all this up and down stuff. But that up and down is also, can also be addictive. There's a chemical release happening in the body when we have these explosions and then things get calm again. Right? So how is this serving me? How is it serving me? What is it keeping me from? I find that most people are hiding from their potential. You know, we're hiding from ourselves. And sometimes if I'm caught up in all that drama, then I don't have to deal with myself. You understand that? Yeah. So I would go through knowing that I can step out eventually. I have to have that in my mind, knowing I can step out of this power struggle, and I'm working my way to it. It doesn't have to happen overnight, so thank you for bringing that up. This isn't supposed to be instantaneous. This is a process. And it can take my aunt, I know she won't mind me sharing this with you. She's not going to listen to the recording anyway. I'm just kidding. She realized that she was in an abusive relationship. She went to Africa, and God spoke to her. She's a very spiritual woman, very religious. And it was apparent, but it took her, I think, another 2 or 5 years before she actually ended the relationship. And it was legitimately not healthy. It was toxic. But she knew she just wasn't ready to step out at that time. She needed time. She needed a process. She needed more prayer. And eventually she did, and she's remarried, and she's very happy. Does that make sense? So it can be even with a job. You know, I'm not happy, but I know if I leave right now, I'm just going to create another situation like this. Does that help? You have to know that it's possible and that you're moving towards it. Then you address these questions and you go inside. How is it serving me? Okay? I want a full report later, which, by the way, nobody brought me their reports from last week. Some people had everybody. Those of us that were here, I know you're excused because you weren't here last week, but the rest of you, I got my eye on you. You guys didn't tell me how your week's been. All right. Any other questions? No? We're good? You guys are awesome. Everybody take a deep breath. Sighing it out. And let's do some more meditation. Ready? Okay. Feet flat on the floor. Eyes closed. Chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. And in your mind's eye, I want you to call to your consciousness, to your conscious awareness, that one relationship that requires your attention. Person that is your teacher. And I just want you to see them in your mind's eye. And in your mind's eye, just put them in a bubble of light, golden healing light. There's no judgment there. You're not fixing, but you are acknowledging. In your mind's eye, imagine a cord that's leading from that bubble of light and connecting to your navel. Can you see it? Imagine you can see it. I want you to cut the cord. Cut the cord and imagine that beautiful person, divine as they are, floating away. Floating away. And you are in your perfect energy, free in this moment. And feel the breath in the body. Good. Feel your relaxation now moving from the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. Good. And placing yourself in a beautiful light. And just being free. Being content. Being in your own beautiful energy. And just stay here in this light, in this breath, in this free, content space. Just breathe. Just be.
taking a nice, deep, conscious, connective breath all the way down to the bottom of your feet and deep into the earth, getting nice and grounded, and sigh out. Very gently opening up the eyes, letting the light filter in. Open up your eyes all the way, wiggle your fingers and your toes, and give yourself a hug, because you're a hot tamale. Give yourself another hug, so you're even. Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and I will see you next week. Namaste.
Thank you very much.